Our sermon text this morning is Jonah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Let's hear those verses again. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." Let's pray. Almighty God, we pray that in this time you will work in our hearts, that you will let us hear the rebuke that is given here by the unbelieving world to the church and take it to heart. We pray, Lord, that you will fill us with your Spirit, that you will convert us, that you will bring us to repentance, that you will work as you see fit to draw us near to and to make us more like unto our Savior Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may or may not be familiar with Penn Jillette. He is an unbelieving atheist, comedian, illusionist of the duo Penn and Teller. Penn Jillette has a well-known YouTube channel where he voices his thoughts and he gives commentary on certain aspects of life. And in one particular video, he said this: "How much do you have to hate somebody not to proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe that that truck was bearing down on you, there is a certain point where I tackle you, and this is more important than that." The church, as we heard in our New Testament reading, has a very set, definite commissioning by God. The church has been told to go into the world and make disciples of all nations, that he might show his mercy, that his glory might cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. And as we have seen over the past few weeks, Jonah has been commissioned by God with a very specific message to go to the people of Nineveh and to cry out against them and to say, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned." But as we've also seen, Jonah hated the Ninevites because he knew what was coming from the prophecies made by other prophets. As we've seen, Jonah himself is a prophet who's already seen prophecy fulfilled, and he's had his name, well, known as a prophet of the Lord. 2 Kings 14 tells us of that. And then the word of the Lord comes to Jonah and says, "Arise and go to Nineveh." And the text says, "But Jonah rose to flee. He rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah flees, hoping that God will tolerate his disobedience. And so we see that Jonah, last week, we saw Jonah made his move. He went to Joppa. He bought a one-way ticket to Tarshish. And he went down into the hull of the ship to sleep. And we saw that God made his counter move, his checkmate, if you will. He's not going to let his people get away. In his grace, he kept Jonah from running off into sin. We saw that God overruled him and that his grace is inescapable. And now this text set before us advances. God is hurling this storm at that ship. He's hurling this storm at those waters. He's hurling this storm. It's not aimed at those sailors, but they're affected by Jonah's sin. And in our text, we see from the sailor's example and the captain's rebuke, an unbelieving world admonish a sleeping church. Let me say that again. In this text, we see from the sailor's example and this captain's rebuke, an unbelieving world admonish a sleeping church. We're going to see that in 3 points this morning. Firstly, we're going to see the sailor's example. And then we're going to see Jonah's sleeping. And lastly, we're going to see this captain's rebuke. The sailor's example, Jonah's sleeping, and the captain's rebuke. So what do we see for these sailors? Verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Jonah is trying to get away from the presence of the Lord. And a storm comes upon the ship. He's down in the hull of the ship sleeping. Jonah did not recognize or realize that this was from the Lord. But the sailors do. These are seasoned veterans of the sea. They have been, no doubt, in many storms before. They have been in choppy waters. They have seen their ships nearly overturn before. But they recognize this is no ordinary storm. They recognize that this storm is aimed at their ship. It's almost like one of those cartoons where someone is walking about and the cloud is right over them, following them everywhere, and it's raining directly on them, but all around is sunshine. These sailors recognize there is something particular about this storm. It is aimed at their ship. This is an intense storm like no other that they've seen. And they are in a panic. If you don't like to fly, or even don't like to be on a boat, no matter what it seems like, never panic until you see the flight crew. Get a little nervous. Then you can panic. Well, these sailors are now panicked. because this is no storm like they've ever seen. And so then each one cries out to his God. They were afraid that their lives and their goods would be lost. And so they cry out each to his God, little g, a false god. So what do we see here? Well, we see that in every man, inescapably so, there is an innate, inborn knowledge of God. That's why there are no atheists like Mr. Gillette. They know in their heart of hearts, in the deepest sense of their being, that there is, a God to whom they will answer. These sailors, they've not seen a storm like this, and it comes down on them and they cry out. How many stories have you heard of men in times of trouble crying out to God? Even if they've blasphemed Him, they've cursed Him, they've never cared a lick, if you will, for that religion stuff. But the trouble comes and they cry out to God. Every man knows that God is and that He is powerful. And despite the fall, there is this inborn subconscious recognition of God. And here on this ship, in this very moment, as the storm is bearing down on them, any theoretical atheism that they may have gives way. And they cry out to God. It goes out the window, and they call out to Him or to their gods. But what else do we see? They're praying and they're working. They're calling out to their God to save them, and they are tossing cargo off the ship. They cast off the merchandise. This is their very livelihood. They feel themselves in such trouble that they cry out to God and they say, "We don't care. We will foot the cost. We will carry the bill. We do not care if we get paid." They cast off the goods, because shipwreck seemed imminent to them. That's what verse 4 says, so that the ship threatened to break up. If you've ever been on a ship, an older ship, in the water you can hear the creaks and the groans and the stress that's put on it. Well, these were creaks and groans and stress like this ship had never seen, and it was threatening to break up. And these men were trying to make the ship lighter, and they were doing whatever it would take in order to save their lives, crying out to their gods and working hard. Now, what about us this morning? What about you? Are we like these sailors? Do we pray only when we sense that the need is real? That this time I really can't handle it on my own? Do we call out to God only when the trouble is getting so harsh and times are desperate and everything seems lost? You see, these men rebuke an unbelieving and sleeping church, because there are times when we can be no different than these men. That we pray and work only when there is a storm. That we think only about saving our own lives. That's what they were doing. They were thinking about themselves, saving themselves. Because by nature there is a pervasive selfishness that's in us all. You see it in Jonah, don't you? Jonah's asleep in the hold of the ship. He doesn't want to take the message of God's grace to those in Nineveh. This selfishness is there. And so, like these men, we often use God for our own benefit as an emergency button of sorts. I need you. And we push the button and hope He comes through for us this time. You see, it's an empty religion that gives no thought to God and His glory. These weren't true prayers. These were self-preservation prayers. No, true prayer is always aimed at the glory of God, no matter what the circumstance. True prayer and self-renunciation go hand in hand. Isn't that what Jesus said? If any man would come after me, if any man would be my disciple, let him come after me, take up his cross, and deny himself. You see, it's one thing to lose our wares, our goods, our prosperity for fear of hell, but it's another to lose our life on account of a burden of sin. Have you ever truly cried out to God? Have you ever truly called out to Him and cast off in a spiritual sense all the freight of this world and come to Him as He is? See, that's what these men needed more than to have this storm to stop. They needed to call out to God and lose their life in order to find Christ. But we notice as they are on the deck, as they are rowing hard, as they are doing all that they need to do, Jonah is sleeping. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. Notice what it says. This is the second time it's talked about Jonah trying to get away from the presence of the Lord. Then you need to hear this about sin. This is highly symbolic. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. And here it says in verse 5, but Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship. Sin always brings us down. It always takes us down and into the depths. And here Jonah is literally and symbolically asleep. He's been commissioned by God, and yet he sleeps. He knows what he's supposed to be doing, and yet he's so exhausted by sin, so exhausted by doing the exact opposite of what God has called him to do, that he sleeps. This isn't the sleep that God gives His beloved. This isn't the sleep of Psalm 4, where it's a restful, blessed sleep. No, he's exhausted from the conflict of his soul. He knows he's not right with God. He's empty, he's sad, and he's worn out from his running. He's sleeping with a guilty conscience. And there's a major difference in the sleep of a guilty conscience and falling asleep with a conscience of peace with God in the blood of Christ. There's a major difference. Jonah's facing the exhaustion of sin. But not only that, it shows an insensitivity of a willful transgressor. It's a dangerous insensitivity. He had dared to go his own way. God had said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. He falls asleep here. He's starting to feel comfortable with his sin. He's starting to feel comfortable with it, starting to grow accustomed to his distance from God. He's a prophet of the Lord. He had known God's presence. He had known His power. He had known the truth of God, that He had spoken God's word and it had come to pass. And now he's growing used to a distance from the Lord. He falls asleep. And we give Jonah a hard time, don't we? Jonah, how could you? God has directly said to you, go to Nineveh. But God has directly given to us His word, just as He has Jonah. It's right here, 66 books. God has said, do not, and how often do we? God has said, go and do this, and how often do we not go? Do we stay? You see, we are all like Jonah by nature. We all sleep the sleep of death. We all sleep through the invitations and the warnings of the gospel. We all sleep through those things by nature, because we become comfortable with the warnings against our soul. Oh, that will never happen to me. I am young. Oh, that will never happen to me. I am in good health. Oh, that will never happen to me. By nature. We are like Jonah. We are restful rebels, content in our sin. Let me ask you this morning, have you hardened yourself willingly, deliberately, against God, like Jonah? Yes, it's possible for even you, a Christian. Have you hardened yourself against God like Jonah? It's possible. It's entirely possible that we know the voice of God. We hear it. We see it on His written page. And like David, we harden ourselves to His command and we follow our own lusts. What about you this morning? Are you backsliding down from the presence of the Lord? You don't want to call out to Him. That's why Jonah's sleeping, because to call out to God means you have to seek His presence. What about you? Are you trying to get away from the presence of the Lord, and so you're backsliding down into sin, and you have a spirit of sleep and coldness and deadness and dryness that's taking a hold of you, and you are getting used to being away from the presence of the Lord? This is a warning to us. Do not be like Jonah. This is a warning. But it's also good news. It's not too late. How many of those 10 virgins fell asleep? All 10. But 5 were awakened and they repented and they had their lamps ready. This is the call to you this morning. If you are asleep like Jonah, wake up, O sleeper, and return to God. Wake up, get out of the bottom of the ship and cry out to the true God, the living God of the Scriptures. Wake up, because the matters of your soul are matters of eternity. Wake up and repent. Wake up and flee to Christ. Wake up and turn to Jesus. Jonah's asleep, and God sends the captain of the ship to wake him. Verse 6 says, so the captain came and said to him, What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise and call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. Here the captain does just that. Wake up. The sailors are fighting against the storm, and they look around and they notice this passenger. He's not here helping us. He's not here. Where could he be? And the captain finds him, and of course the captain is confused. Why aren't you calling out? We're calling out to our gods. Why aren't you? And God uses an unbelieving captain to rebuke his church. Wake up, you sleeper. You see, God, the greater captain of the ship, sends this captain to halt this backslider in his steps. Like the servant girl to Peter, like Nathan to David. God sends to us those who stop us in our tracks, who keep us from going further. He's astonished and enraged that these professional sailors are frightened and upon their knees, crying out to their gods. And the stranger, this man, is sleeping. He shakes him awake. What is this? Why are you asleep? And that's the world's rebuke to the church. An unbelieving world is watching the church of Jesus Christ. They're watching those who profess to know the God who made the seas and the dry land. They're watching you. You may even have a Jesus bumper sticker on your car, have all the t-shirts and the nice necklaces. You only listen to the Christian radio station, and all of your unbelieving friends know this, and they are watching. Remember, verse 10 says, they knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And when you act in an unbelieving way, when you are carrying on and you're backsliding, when you willfully go against the commission and word of God, know that the world is watching and they rebuke you. They're saying to you, how is it possible for you to sleep in indifference while the waves are crashing upon us? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. Perhaps he will shine, the Hebrew word is. Perhaps he will put an end to the storm. Perhaps he will make his favor come upon us. You see, the captain knows in some way that the God of this sleeper is the God, the creator and master of all. And so he tells Jonah to call upon him. And you'd think with his guilty conscience, Jonah would be aroused and convicted and call upon God and fall on his knees and pray and cry out. And yet, we get no word from him. Until verse 10, after God discovers his sin to them. Think of this. Jonah was called to reprove Nineveh, but here pagan men are reproving him. And God is using them to do so. Listen to the parallel. God's call to Jonah and this captain's call to him. Arise, go to Nineveh, God says. And this captain comes and he says, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Jonah knows that this man is being used by God because God will not let him escape. These pagan men reprove him. The storm comes and Jonah should have been the first to pray, and yet he sleeps and the sailors pagan men pray. The storm comes, and Jonah should have been evangelizing them about his God, the one who makes and sends storms. And yet they are saying, "Arise, call upon your God." Jonah sleeps. They come to him about his God, and it's a tragedy when the world must come to the church because the church has forgotten her mission and is doing everything but what God has called her to do. It confuses the world just as this captain was confused. You see, the world is watching. They're seeing if we're holding fast to our profession. They want to see us avoid the very appearance of evil. Because when we don't, they say of us, "They're no different. I'm not going to the church. They're just hypocrites." And Satan rejoices. Do you need to be shaken awake this morning? Do you need to hear the call, "Wake up, sleeper. Call out to your God"? Because the world is watching. And the storm is coming upon them. The storm of God's wrath that is due to you has already broken on Christ if you name Him as your Savior. The storm of God's wrath has been broken upon Him, and He has borne it, but there is a storm coming. And the world knows it. Wake up. Call out and tell them of this Savior. You see, Jonah is separated from God. He chose sin over repentance. He chose his sin over the voice of God. And so God, in this storm and in these sailors and in this captain, takes Jonah by the scruff of his neck and he says, "Wake up, wake up, wake up." And he's a volcano inside. He's like the psalmist. "When I did not confess my sin to you, my bones trembled within. Your hand was heavy upon me." And this is Jonah. And it's a tragedy when we won't confess our sin to God. But this is what we are in ourselves. So what do you do? What do you do today if you know you're down in the ship, on your way to Tarshish, down away from the presence of God? What do you do if you know you're backslidden? Wake up. Cry out to God, who will have mercy on you as you look to Jesus Christ. Jonah fell asleep out of disobedience. He slept from weariness. But you look up, because one greater than Jonah is here. Jesus is the greater than Jonah. You know, a very similar parallel. A storm comes upon the sea, and yet Jesus sleeps the sleep of obedience. The storm is on the sea, and Jonah can do nothing about it, but Jesus will calm the storm. Do just as the disciples did. They couldn't do anything, just as these sailors could not, and they turned to Christ. And if you this day are asleep, wake up and turn to Him. Because despite your rebellion, God comes to His people. Despite your rebellion, God does not give up on His people. And though it does not sound like it, God has grace. They hurl Jonah into the sea. But the text says, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And after being spit out onto dry ground, Jonah does what he should have done. He follows the Lord. Come to Him. Cry out to Him. You may still yet be swallowed up by the fish, but it's a mercy to you. And God will set you on your course aright. Do not be rebuked any longer by the world. Come to Christ and follow Him in His Word. Let's pray. Almighty God,